You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens. I'm so excited to be with you today. We got Brad Lominick here. Say hey, Brad.
What's up, people? What's up out there in podcast land? You're running, you're on the treadmill, you're cooking, you're driving.
So that's a great thing.
You're sleeping.
So where do you listen to podcasts? So I was having this exact conversation with Barnabas Piper 6 months ago when I was in Nashville with him. And he said, I only listen to podcasts when I'm at the gym. And at first thing I thought was, I wouldn't hear very many podcasts if that's the only time I listen to it. But
that does say something about your exercise.
Yeah. But so I like to take notes. So I listen to them driving and I end up pulled over on the side of the road going, oh man, that's gold. I got to take notes on that.
So you actually pull over?
Oh yeah, no, I pull over.
You're not doing the texting and trying to take notes and you got your yellow pad over there on the side?
I keep notepads in the car and I will pull over. But where do you listen?
Mainly running. That's my go-to, is running or working out. That's sort of the default. And then driving as well. But you know where I love to listen to them is in the airport, and when I get on a plane, the first 30 minutes of nonsense on a plane that basically is just dead air, where you're on there first, because I'm Diamond on Delta, I get to get on, you know, with all the cool people at the beginning. Exactly. Yes.
Delta.
Thank you very much,
yeah,
Delta.
Drop that. Yeah.
Dropping Delta in there. Hashtag Delta. But there's 30 minutes at least where you don't do anything. You can't get your computer out. You might be able to text people, but I love listening to podcasts in that window right there.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
So I take notes in my notes app on my phone, even running. I've gotten fairly good. I usually stop and walk to take the notes.
I would say between running and going, it's hard for me to type with my thumbs.
Yeah. I have, probably in the last year, I bet I have 5,000 words of notes from podcasts that I've listened to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Of just, again, you
so
hear
you
it.
You go back, review them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep them all in the same running list. I probably should put them in Evernote and categorize them.
Yeah, so I'm using a system that our mutual friend Jonathan has given me of building illustration files. So he believes that you've got to always be collecting these illustrations. So we need a story, you're writing a column,
yeah,
writing a blog, you've got to go to. And so I've been finding I'm taking all those notes, getting them into illustrations, and it's working really well.
But you're a note like connoisseur, Ron. I mean, you have stuff
junkie everywhere. Yeah, I do.
You're not a sticky note guy.
Yeah, no.
But you have content strewn throughout the land, is my guess.
Yeah,
in multiple places.
I kind of treat every. You know, I'm getting really good about this kind of illustrations file. When I read a business book, even when I read just a novel, I'm treating it like a textbook. I'm marking it up. I'm flagging it. We have a system where I take that stuff out of there and get it put either into a quote file that's tagged to pull it back up, or putting it in this illustrations that's tagged with the same markers as the quote files. So if I want to write on emerging leaders, I've got a file on that. I know how to bring quotes up on it.
When you say you have a file, is that a virtual file or is that a physical file?
No, virtual. So I'm using Word.
Okay.
I know there's lots of Evernote and those kind of things.
Put them in the folders. And
We build it out in folders. And the main reason is because I have multiple members of my team that either need access to it or are helping build it out, helping add to it. And so I needed a format that they could use easily, and we didn't have 10 versions running. So we've got it on the cloud. We're building it out. Everybody has access to it who needs it, and it seems to be working really well.
And are you a Moleskin guy?
I am. I tend to use the same brand of notebooks as they use watches. So Shinola. It's a great Michigan.
Shout out to Shinola.
Hashtag Shinola. You know, they're not going to send me anything free because they don't send anything to anybody free.
Right.
But they're a great group. And they produce these great Michigan-made notebooks that are on peer with just about anybody out there. And especially to know it's made right down the street.
That's cool. I know we have a topic we need to dive into. Right, Bree?
Absolutely.
Bree the director, Bree the producer.
It's got to be a better title than producer. It's like guru of life in production or
something. Podcast enforcer.
Nice.
Podcast enhancer.
Enhancer. That's more positive.
Yeah.
Same outcome, much more positive, though.
Yeah, you're the Princess Leia of podcasting.
Oh, there we go.
About that?
Huh? That's gold.
How about
somebody
that?
Hashtag that.
Princess Leia of podcasting.
Princess Leia of podcasting.
Yes.
And with those headphones on, you kind of got the whole sidebun thing going.
Yeah. I'm feeling the vibe that you're giving right now, which is you have headphones on, you're sitting in front of a small machine that is actually recording us. She's got notes. She looks the part, Ron.
She does. She looks the part.
Yeah.
And when I first met Bree, she was like 20 feet in the air. So Bree is a college athlete.
And this was at what event?
Western Michigan University. Bree was a, what is it, the flyer.
The flyer.
On the cheerleader team. So she would get these amazingly well-built guys that would chuck her in the air three stories high, and she'd tumble and spin. And then on good days, they'd catch her.
Did you ever get into cheerleading, Ron?
I did, actually.
I knew this was going to be true. I don't know why. I just knew that you would be in, like, you've done everything.
So in high school, so I went to this great small rural high school, Ozark High School in Ozark, Missouri. And so my junior and senior years, they added male cheerleaders during basketball season.
Okay.
So I'm a football player. I played a little baseball poorly. And then I threw the shot put and discus. So basketball season, there's nothing to do, and it's a small town, so you're going to go to the game anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So do you want to go to the game and ride on the bus with the cheerleaders?
Of course.
This or, do you want to ride with the general student population?
No.
It was an easy choice for me.
Yeah.
And pretty much insured me, you know, of a date, because you can always get that sympathy. I don't have a date to the dance.
Now, did you all, I mean, I know we got to move on, but I'm totally intrigued by your high school cheerleading career, because Bree's rolled her eyes at you. But did you do stunts and stuff, or
you
just more the clapper?
Oh, no,
the
clapper. Stunts. We had like dance routines.
Did you hold up?
Hold the girl above your head.
How many times did you drop somebody?
Never. Yeah, we did the We Got Spirit. Yes, we do. We
of
got
course,
Spirit.
Yes.
How about you?
Yeah. And you said, wow. Okay,
I am not
well.
Cheering. Don't we have a topic? What was the topic here? Oh, trying something new.
Launching something new.
Yeah. Humiliating yourself with stories that nobody
This is part of my job
about.
Here on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast is to pull things out of Ron Kitchens that have never been revealed to the podcasting world before. I feel like I've started pretty well.
Today.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that what we were supposed to talk about today was starting new things. How do you start something new? And you have the same experiences that I do that, you know, we get to meet with lots of young, not even young, emerging leaders who got a passion. They're hungry. They want to do things that bring change, but, you know, fear gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing kind of what are the questions to ask before you get there. So from your perspective, somebody who's started multiple new things, what's your advice to emerging leaders?
Well, big picture, I would say, you know, start with the end in mind. I was told that when I was young, and I thought, okay, that didn't really make sense. But now that I'm older, it does, because Seth Godin says, starters are a dime a dozen. I mean, there are starters everywhere. There's people launching things constantly. The question is can you finish? Like, can you actually complete something? Can you take it from the beginning to the end? I think when you think about the end in mind and you start with that perspective of, okay, where do I want to be, you know, in a year or 2 years or 5 years or whatever that vision is, that you are really, really clear on that. The other thing is you have to scale appropriately that vision. So everybody, when they start a cause, you know, causes have been the rage for the last 10 years, maybe more. But everybody, when you say, well, how big do you want this to be? Oh, it's going to be global. It's going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest thing ever. We're going to impact millions of people all around the world. And you just want to say, that's not realistic. There are some things that might be that, but most of the time you're going to impact maybe a city, a county, a neighborhood, you know, a state maybe. But that's really important, is start with the end in mind and then come back and say, what's the realistic scaling of this? And how do I get people around me who will help me figure that out?
I think that's great advice. And when we look at starting new things, and we tend to start at Southwest Michigan First, something new and pretty big each year. So this past year, we went into the magazine business. You know, when everybody told us, you know, magazines were dead, nobody would read it. you know, we have 11,000 people who are subscribing and it's done really well. And then all of a sudden magazines are hot now. So it's growing. But, you know, one of the things that, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. One of the things we struggled with was everyone told us you have to do it this way because that's what the market's doing.
Right.
And so it's this quality, this number of pages, and it just didn't work for us. And it probably cost us a year of investigating all the ways we didn't want to do it before we really knew what we wanted to do. And I think that's one of the smartest things we ever did was just take time and not assume that everything we thought was wrong was wrong. There's a reason they were all doing it. And we can make decisions to not do it that way, but we knew why we were making that decision, not just because we didn't like it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, is you also have a culture that is both willing to risk, you're willing to look fear in the face, and you're also, you have a circle of entrepreneurial people that end up being entrepreneurs within an entrepreneurial organization. And so for you to start something within the context of your organization gives it way better chance of actually succeeding because there's already been track record and there's a mindset that says, we love this. We eat this for breakfast. Where a lot of people, I think, they start something on their own or they start something in an organization that is incredibly unopen to change and they fail. And then they look around and go, well, man, why didn't that work? I think a lot of times it's because the culture wasn't there that actually helps foster a sense of launching things.
Yeah, and that's critical for leadership to develop. If that's what you want for your organization, then you've got to build a culture where entrepreneuring is absolutely accepted. It's the standard. You can use the capacity of the organization. You've got accounting set up and you got purchasing set up. You know how to do all these things, but they have to become support services and not a box that you start building around. You know, we've got a couple of things that we've started that our cost model of the parent corporation is too high to make them work. So one of them, we actually sold the company to somebody who had a much lower overhead cost who can make it work because we realized ours was too high and we didn't want to lower our standards, although the market would have accepted that. Culturally, it didn't work for us. And then another one where we had to say, you know what? We don't need that elite level of accounting services or office to make that company work. Let's bring that down. But the culture of the company can still say hi. So it really does take a lot of creativity and everybody has to buy in. Because if you have somebody on the team who goes, oh, no, no, I just want to shove widgets out the door.
Yeah.
Then it gets pretty scary for them when you start putting things at risk to do really new, cool things. But if we didn't, then we have a whole lot of folks who would leave the team.
Well, in the place to start, and you know, when people ask, hey, how do I get started? It's just you start. I mean, you know, put one step in front of the other. And so many times the biggest barrier to overcome is that first one. If you're trying to launch something, this is not launching a company. This is, hey, I got to go mow the lawn. You know, I've been putting it off. But the first step you take then, or the first row you cut, then now you're into it and you started. So even that mindset and an elementary thing like mowing the lawn, I think it's still true of looking at a big project that you're trying to launch, get off the ground, is just take the first step and, you know, bite-sized chunks. What's the quote of the elephant that...
How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah, one bite at a time. Yeah.
Yeah, and we, because of our private equity investing, you know, we've been involved with more than 100 companies and startups and some of them inside our own shop, some of them where we were just advisors or board members to them. And, you know, that great idea of how we decide to invest in, it's a lot who finished.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get a lot of, you know, we're interviewing potential people to invest with. And there's, you know, well, I started this and I quit that because then I wanted to do the next thing or that didn't really work. And they don't have any appreciation for, I just need to see you finish.
Right.
You know, and I saw some really interesting data the other day that said, if you go to community college or college and you quit, you fail, your lifetime earnings are not much different than somebody who dropped out of high school.
Wow.
There's something about that quitting mentality that begins to take over your life. So finishing is that's that lesson our moms all taught us. You can do anything you want in school, but you have to finish it. You have to finish the season. You have to finish the year. It turns out that's really important.
Yeah. So I mean, I agree. We're talking about launching and starting, but I believe it goes back to finishing. If you want to be a great starter, you got to be a great finisher.
Yeah. Tell me how you finished the season on a team that lost all its games.
Right.
That's a good question, Bree. We got to add to our fit when we add new team members is tell us about sticking it out any time in your life when it sucked.
Right.
When it wasn't any fun at all.
Yeah. You were 0-4. Yeah.
That'd be a great question to add. So we need to leave time for that. Brad, thanks for being here today. And it's snowing out, so maybe you can go start my car and scrape it off.
This is why I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.